Forget frequently asked questions.
Common sense. Common knowledge. Or Google.
How about advice from a real genius? 95% of people in any profession are good enough to be qualified and licensed. 5%
go above and beyond.
They become very good at what they do. But only
0.1%.
are real geniuses. Richard Jacobs has made it his life's mission to find them for you. He hunts down and interviews geniuses in every field. Sleep science, cancer, stem cells, ketogenic diets, and more. Here come the geniuses. This is the Finding Genius Podcast
with Richard Jacobs.
Hello, this is Richard Jacobs with the Finding Genius Podcast, now part of the Finding Genius Foundation. My guest is Daniel Sabani. He's the CEO of Freeletics, FreeLetics.com. Daniel, thanks for coming. Welcome.
Happy to be on the show, Richard.
Yeah, tell me what Freeletics is and a bit about your journey on how you came up with the idea.
Yeah, so I'm an entrepreneur and angel investors of companies in education, parenting, and fitness. And yeah, so Freeletics might be the center point of all of that. So co-founders and I have built, and I'm the CEO of Freeletics, that is Europe's number one fitness app. We have 57 million users, and our USP is that we are leveraging AI to provide hyper-personalized training plans and personal fitness scoring. So in a nutshell, your success probability of reaching your fitness goals with us is much bigger than with any standard fitness app.
That's great. What is the customization like? What can you do?
Well, I would want to say we can do everything, but to give you a couple of examples. So typically, you know, you get a training plan and then that's just set for weeks and months. We personalize the training plan on every given day to your circumstances. And these circumstances might be the fitness data that we get through your tracker, Apple Watch, whatever it is. That might be that you tell our conversational AI, hey, I'm feeling tired today, or for whatever reason, I'm more interested in doing workout ABC, or hey, today I would like to do burpees, anything like that. And training plan and automatically adapt our own customization if, for whatever case, there's anything that we didn't get right.
Who wants to do burpees? Everyone hates them, so far as I know. I'm just kidding. But no, I mean, wouldn't that lead to someone if they were like, I don't feel like doing this today, getting away with not doing stuff? Or like, can you set the trainer to be more forgiving, or the AI to be less forgiving, so that it pushes you anyway?
Yeah, it's a good question, Richard. So for one is, we have certain personalities of trainers that the user can choose from. But the other thing is that our core philosophy is that whatever happens, and you can skip a workout or you can feel shitty, but whatever happens, we want you to do what we call your base every day. And that base is 17 minutes of movements, 17. And that could be everything. It could be you walk around the block. It could be you do a very light jog. It could be you do some strenuous workout. But what we want to prevent is you starting to negotiate with yourselves whether you do really skip a full workout. That's not within our philosophy. And while that may sound, well, let's say extreme or frightening from the beginning, hey, should I really do 17 minutes every day? Once you get to know that concept, it's super easy, it's super convenient, and it builds real muscle in terms of repetition and habit building.
So what's up? Does it have limits? You know, let's say you skip two workouts this week. Does it start to get harder on you and say, come on, you're missing too much, or what does it do?
Yeah, you actually get this these conversational prompts from our AI. Both motivational, both checking, and depending on what works better for your personality. But, you know, ultimately, also here, it's an app. And so it can only do so much if you really don't want to work out and start skipping your workouts.
But what does it do to motivate you? I mean, like, what's a practical example that you've gotten from users? Like, you know, I would figure it's hard to tune this and hard to gauge, because some people, you bug them too much, they say, leave me alone, and they quit. And some people, they want to be bugged and they don't mind, and they understand, like, look, it's all just part of it. You gotta do this. You can't just, like, you know, be a wimp and just give up all the time.
Well, let me say three things to that, but that doesn't solve the whole issue. If somebody would have solved this topic, we wouldn't have the obesity problem in the world. But three things to say to that. So first of all is, we have a strong self-selection. So we as Freeletics, we very directly communicate that getting fit, getting to your goals, does require a certain amount of work. We can make it very smart. We can make it much more efficient than others, but still there is some work required. And if you really are the person that deep within themselves does not have a small spark of energy saying, but once you have classified for that, and that, those are surprisingly a lot of people classify for that, who want to. Once you classify for that, we have found two things to be very motivating. One is just progress. As easy as it sounds, or simple as it sounds, is we design both our workouts, but also our fitness scoring, that if you work out, you will see continuous measurable progress. So it doesn't take 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months until you finally see something in the mirror or on the scale or wherever until you have that progress, feeling of success. So that's one big thing. And the second big thing is that there is actually a lot more possibility to tailor the messaging to you than you think, because with more than 57 million users, you can imagine the amount of data that we have. And we can start, or we are having strong correlations between certain personality types, certain demographics, certain psychographics, with the type of language and the type of content that they feel motivating. Again, it's not a failed state.
Yeah. If you can, I know a lot of this, you know, it's proprietary. What can you tell me about some of these cues that you see?
Well, this is extremely person dependent. But one very simple example is that you have a very strong correlation between the age of a person nowadays. So that's more of a generational thing, an age of a person and how much they want to be drill instructor versus we all call it massage into a workout. That's one example, but that is only the very tip of the iceberg. You can imagine 10 other dimensions that cross correlate with this.
So what, I guess older people don't want as harsh an instruction, or they do, or what's this you tell you?
No, it's actually the opposite. And so our hypothesis for why we see that in the data is more that that older people are from a different generation. It's not necessarily their age, but their generational upbringing that was a bit more, hey, the world is as it is, and you have to change and you have to become better in order to be successful in the world. And now I'm super generalizing here, and so take this with a big grain of salt, but the newer generation sometimes feel a bit more as like, hey, you know, the world has to change for me.
I understand. That makes sense. So who are the primary users then of your app? You have, millions and millions of them. How do they divide up? Are you able to say, like, what kind of demographics?
Yeah, so typically our users are somewhere between, 23 and 45. That's the majority. They have a male, they're skewed towards male, and all of them have a level of intrinsic motivation. So it's not your typical, oh my God, I have never done any sport at all and somehow want to lose weight 2-3 months and then I know that I'm already going to go back to the couch. When it comes to geos, we're strongly European focused. And when it comes to the type of workout philosophy, I call it the 80-20 philosophy. So yes, it's strenuous and all of these kind of things, but we're not trying to build Mr. Olympia or Mr. Universe out of you. And we're not trying to get you down to 6% body fat and all of these kind of things, but more the question or the goal is, how can we get you to a good outcome, whether that's weight loss or a certain type of physique or anything like that, or just feeling better or a certain performance goal, but how can we get you to that outcome with the least possible amount of work? Now, that's not your typical, hey, 5 minutes workout or anything like that, get fit in 4 weeks or thing, because that's just not realistic. So it has to be realistic, but we're trying to give you really that, have enough time for your life, but still be fit.
What about the different countries? What does it look like in various countries in Europe or US or Australia? How are the people different in terms of fitness?
Well, the only thing, Richard, that I can really say to how they're different in terms of fitness is that the body image, or let's say the goal that you have, that differs from countries or regions, so to say. So the best example is, while typically in Western countries, you have that lean, slightly muscular physique, both in men and increasingly in women, as the ideal that people strive towards. Countries, for example, like Brazil, is a very different type of female body image that is the target.
So what's rewarded in it in Brazil? What are they like there?
how should I say this politically correct, big bums and much more curvy.
Before we continue, I've been personally funding the Finding Genius podcast for 4.5 years now, which has led to 2,700 plus interviews of clinicians, researchers, scientists, CEOs, and other amazing people who are working to advance science and improve our lives and our world. Even though this podcast gets 100,000 plus downloads a month, we need your help to reach hundreds of thousands more worldwide. Please visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click on Support Us. We have 3 levels of membership from $10 to $49 a month, including perks such as the ability to see ahead in our interview calendar and ask questions of upcoming guests, transcripts of podcasts you're interested in, the ability to request specific topics or guests, and more. Visit findinggeniuspodcast.com and click Support Us today. Now, back to the show.
Okay. I see what you mean. So what, you're getting all this data, what other types of products and services does that suggest to you? I'm sure the data is very useful, and you guys partnering with Fitbit or companies like that would be fantastic.
Yeah, we have to be, so data is really orange flag, yellow flag topic for us at Freeletics, because we are based in Germany, and that one of the most strict data protection, data privacy country and legislation that you can find out there in the world. So that's already a really big challenge. Currently, we mostly focus on building a platform on top of our data. So that means that personalization engine can be used for other use cases for other partners without using the data. We're using our data to train the model, but without using our users' data.
You have like an AI API in a way?
Not yet, but that will be the case.
Well, you're already probably using AI to personalize the algorithms for people, right? Based on what they did the past day, week, month, year, personality goals, all that stuff. You said the workout adapts. Can we talk about that a little bit? Like, what are some of the adaptations the workout will make to you over time?
Oh, yeah. We are using AI already since a couple of years and have now added the generative AI functionality on top of that, which is actually a very exciting use case and one that our users really appreciate, because one of the big issues with fitness apps is, obviously, that you're lacking that human connection that a personal trainer in a gym or any other type of environment can give you, but also the way how you can interact with the personal trainer in terms of workout. You know, if you hire a personal trainer in a gym, it is absolutely normal you go talk to them and tell them, hey, John, day was a little bit rough. My arm hurts here a little bit. Could we slightly adapt the workout a bit like this? And what do you think about here? And, I had this issue with my nutrition. What's your advice? All of these kind of things. And the beauty with integrating generative AI on top of our AI model that just personalizes the training plan is that our users now are exactly able to do that. And our most powerful use case in this instance was, surprisingly for us, the very first workout adaptation. Just the possibility for our users to talk to the app and make sure that the first workout is exactly what they want, with all the quirks and specialities that you as an individual person have, that has given us a significant engagement boost.
What are some of the elements that you can talk about that where customization really makes the workout go better? Are people happier with their workouts? Are they getting better results? Is it both of those things? Like, what is all this customization doing for people?
Yeah. So within boundaries, all our customization is focused upon you doing the workout, because the perfect workout is the one that you're doing. Now, of course, there are big boundaries to that, because if your workout says do one squat and then go home, shower, obviously nothing will happen to your physique over time. So there are big boundaries to that. But that was to underline what the very core metric is that we're optimizing towards, is your attention, your engagement. Now, we cross-reference this with 2 other big data points. The one big data point is that we also do fitness scoring and analysis through in our app. So we understand how your performance develops, how your readiness develops, how easy you recover. And these performance metrics have to improve. If they don't improve over time, all the retention doesn't help you to reach your fitness goal. So that's the second big data point that we take into account. And the third one is very simply, after every workout, we ask the user, how was the workout? How did you like it? From a scale of 1, is terrible, to 10, perfect, where are you? And by now, we've reached an average of almost 90%. And these are the three main things that we use. What the key is to get you to do something.
And I guess it keeps track of all your metrics. So you're competing against yourself. And I would guess it's reinforcing and showing you this month you did 10% more this and that, you know, compared to last year, you're 5% closer to your goals, or, you know, like what things does it tell you to encourage?
The most important things that it tells you to encourage you is it tracks your strength, stamina, endurance, your speed, as well as your, how do we call that? Not your retention. I'm blanking on the name. How often do you do your workout when you have set your goal to do that work, when you have set the goal to do the workout? And within this set of metrics, you get all the types of analysis over how did your performance change over time? Did you reach a new best mark? How has the trend been over the last periods of time? Which exercise/workout should you do to improve in certain metric? And you can also compete versus other users if that's more of your thing.
What's the competition look like when you do that? What do they set out?
Well, the competition is really twofold. One is you have leaderboards within comparable users, so that, you know, no beginner wants to compare themselves to Mr. Universe. That's not a fair nor motivating comparison. But within comparable user groups, you just have leaderboards that are updated after every workout. But then there are also specific challenges, and they are really set either by our users themselves or by our marketing team, because there's a certain theme, or because we want to feature something, or just because they find it cool, where users can self-select or subscribe to, which could be everything from simple consistency-focused things like, hey, you know, let's do 20 burpees every day, although you hate it, up to every day, let's tackle a goal workout for 20 days. So very different.
Yeah, call burpees throw uppies, because that's what happens sometimes. But
not after 20. If that happens after 20, there's more problem with you than with the burpees.
No, I know, but yeah. Wow. Okay. What happens to users, like, let's say in the first month versus 6 months in or a year, and you see like user behavior change over time, whether they're going towards their goals or going away from them? Like, do you have to have systems to get people back on track if you see they're faltering?
Yeah, the biggest systematic that you see over that time is that those users that are still active after 6 months, after a year, they're active for very many years. So they have caught this workout or fever, however you want to call it, and stay with it. Unsurprisingly, the biggest drop-off in activity happens within the first weeks, so 4 weeks, and that's where all the communication, all the CRM, all the AI-based reminders, all of that happens to try to get them back to re-engage with the product, re-engage with their fitness journey.
Oh, so the first 4 weeks are the most critical?
Yeah, 100%. You could even say the very first day, or let's say the first 3 days, that's the biggest step. If you do your first workout, your chances of success have already quadrupled just doing the very first.
Yeah, I remember years ago, I wasn't working out and I started, and I told myself every workout I did was another workout I've done. And that was motivating. It helped, because initially when you first work out and you feel like, oh, you know, it doesn't feel as good as later on and it's tougher. So there's, I guess it's hard, like you said, the first few days and especially the first month too.
Yeah. I mean, what you said speaks to the point that, so there are a couple of things that we really try to help our users understand to maximize their success. One is, which you indirectly mentioned, is you need to break down your goal into small, manageable, directly controllable steps. You cannot measure on every given day whether you're going to have that six pack or whatever it is in 3 months. But if you say, okay, I need to do these amount of workouts per week, so that means this workout today, I need to eat in this way, and then all of these steps, so you break it down, I need to drink that glass of water, and you can put a check mark behind these individual small things versus trying to just blindly run against this big goal. That's the very first thing. So how do you eat an elephant bite by bite? That's principle number one. The second principle is you need to find something that you enjoy. It might still mean that the very first time you do it, you somehow feel slightly uncomfortable. But if you do something and you immediately feel that there's no way that you will ever enjoy this, you need to find something else. You will not do it. So if fitness, if bodyweight exercises, if going to the gym, if that's not your thing, if you just don't feel any joy in it, find something else. There's no way you're going to hold it to. And then the third thing is really never skip a workout, but you can change, modify it, slim it down. As I mentioned before, you can go for a longer walk around the block. Don't let perfect get in the way of getting something done.
What's the best way for you guys to collect data? Do you have your own wearable that's part of the app, or do you partner with a certain wearable, or do people have to manually enter data?
No, it's definitely the latter. So we allow, if users use their Apple Watch, you know, Google Fit, Garmin, Fitbit, these, you know, the most popular wearables, we're going to pull your data if you allow us to. Other than that, yes, you have the possibility to manually enter it. We have done our own hardware once, and it was a real pain in the ass. Not looking forward to doing that again anytime soon.
I understand. What are some of the important metrics that people use, or, you know, that your system uses and that people use to help themselves gauge, am I improving, you know, am I getting results?
Yeah, it's, you know, Richard, these are the things that I've mentioned before. So sorry for duplicating my answer. It's
okay.
What we track, and also what the users in the end track, is from a metric standpoint, the consistency towards your training plan and how your performance changes over time. And again, performance broken down in speed, endurance, stamina, strength, all of these submetrics. The user, most of them likely will also track just, you know, how do I look in the mirror? How do I feel is a big thing. And their scale.
Oh, wait. Okay. Right.
Yeah. Wait.
Okay. So what are some ideas for the near future that you're able to share? You know, it's proprietary, I understand. But, you know, what can people expect to see from Freeletics over the next year or two?
Yeah, I'm not a really big believer in something being stuff being proprietary, especially not at this level. Other than the generative AI, which is a huge chance and a huge risk for any of these types of businesses, both, you know, internally when using it in your organization, but also within your product. Other than that, there are two big headlines for us, and they might sound boring, but I think they're very valuable. One is, in this ever fragmented and uncertain world, you know, a world where through social media and conflicts, it just feels ever more threatening. A sense of meaning and connection, if you can establish that within your community, is a real hard to create competitive advantage. And we have been focused on community from the very first moment onwards. And this is a big point for us. And the second thing is partnerships. It sounds so boring, but the amount of value and attention you need to generate nowadays to break through the clutter is so much bigger than 5 years ago. And a big recipe for success are partnerships.
Where do you see, again, Freeletics going? Growing the community more? Is it, you feel like with the numbers you have, which is a lot, it's a ton of people, does it have a lot more room to grow? Or is the athletic community maybe kind of that size? Like, where do you see yourself going in the market?
So fortunately, we're still growing. But for me, one of the big goals in regards to that is the combination with other companies that allow us to efficiently serve much bigger parts of the fitness ecosystem. Think about the combination of digital and offline. So, you know, gym and outdoors. Think about personalized nutrition or supplementation as a combination. Think about healthcare and aging for a target group that is anyway focused and motivated around the topic of their health. These kind of big topics would mean for me a real next level instead of just optimizing and tweaking your system every now and then, which is important. It's the base of your business, but that's not what gets you to the next level.
You have any influencers that are on the program? Let's say they put their workouts on there, they put their metrics on there. You know, any team sports that would partner with you guys? Amazing. I guess it would be amazing what the Olympics did. That'd be really cool if they reported data, you know, during an Olympics competition into the Freeletics app, and people could watch and see the metrics and all that. That'd be really cool.
So we have a couple of pro apps that on the platform, part just fans, part influencers, from soccer to MMA. And other than that, our strategy currently is focused on nano and micro influencers. So those people, those still what you would call real people with following somewhere between 1,000 and 100,000, were very passionate, very authentic. These are the ones that we partner with, also with a larger amount of those in order to drive Freeletics awareness.
Very good. Well, where can people find out more about Freeletics? Check it out.
Appreciate the question, Richard. So the easiest way is to just go to Freeletics, so freeletics.com, or just type it into any Google or Instagram. You will find a shitload of stuff about us. We would be very happy if you check us out, give us a chance. You can reach out to me personally on Instagram. Just put my name into Instagram. Mm-hmm. Any of these things will work out well.
And people can go to the app stores and download the app, and that's probably the best way to jump in and get it working, right?
Well, that's too, Richard, now that you mentioned it. Yes, please download the app store, Google Play Store. Oh, man, I'm too long gone from the operations.
That's okay. It's all right. Well, very good, Daniel. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And, you know, the app that you've created and the ecosystem is, it's huge and has a lot to offer. So thank you.
Appreciate the opportunity, Richard. All the best, and thank you.
If you like this podcast, please click the link in the description to subscribe and review us on iTunes.
You've been listening to the Finding Genius podcast with Richard Jacobs. If you like what you hear, be sure to review and subscribe to the Finding Genius podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And want to be smarter than everybody else? Become a premium member at findinggeniuspodcast.com. This podcast is for information only. No advice of any kind is being given. Any action you take or don't take as a result of listening is your sole responsibility. Consult professionals when advice is needed.